In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I want you to know today that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, cutting between spirit and soul. I want you to know today that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Oh yes, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the Word of God made flesh. Where? In the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I tell you how we need Jesus Christ in these days. You know, I've been thinking about when we began by the Holy Spirit's guide, and we began prayer meetings, and the prayer meeting was like a rescue place for people who were broken, needy, and poor. And they would be pouring into the place of the cenacle where we met and get healed. They would get healed and they were able to bless other people. But you know what's happened in many places now? Now that the prayer group of the church has become something beautiful and like a club, like a coffee club, rather than going after the poor, going after the broken, going after the wretched. Jesus said, I've come to have that they might have life, have it more abundantly. I've come to bring life to those who are broken, who are needy, and who are poor. The church must always have preferential love for the broken, the needy, and the poor. Let me just tell you this. We are all broken, and we are all in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 19 of Matthew, verse 13. Then little children were being brought to Jesus in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Little children brought to Jesus. The disciples don't like it. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. You see, when you go into poor countries, the little children all come after you looking for money. They're there to sell postcards or whatever, looking for money. Jesus blessed the little children. Children had no worth in the time of Jesus, but Jesus saw that they had great worth, that the kingdom of heaven was made such as these little children. Let's continue. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good." I said this yesterday. Jesus emptied himself of the glory. He became a slave and did not count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped at. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to them, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." The scripture in Mark says Jesus looked at the man and loved him and said, "If you would be one of my followers, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then follow me." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." Oh, I'm a rich person. I have my health. I have extra money, but I'm very generous with my money. You have to be generous. Generosity. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Do you know that today? What is impossible to doctors, for God everything is possible. We have our friend Betty, who has fourth stage cancer, and it's never grown. And the doctor said, "This is a miracle. This is a miracle." Well, Betty knows it's a miracle, knows that Jesus stopped it from growing. And she's working now with fourth stage cancer, and it stopped growing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God, all things are possible. All things are possible for God. Yes, to make you proud of Jesus, to make you a subject to Jesus, to make you a king's kid, all things are possible. You say, "I'm too old." Never too old, unless you're over 120, and then you're too old. Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or children, or friends, or fields, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." I tell you, God is a giver. When we give up something, he gives us plenty in return. He gives us plenty in return. But many who are first will be last. Who are the first? The Jewish people. And the last will be first. Who are the last? The Gentiles. So many of the Jewish people will be last, and the Gentiles who are last will be first. Chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers. This is something that was done. It's still done in poor countries, third world countries. People go out into the highways and byways, see who's not working, and get day laborers. So he wanted laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out at 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the markets. I say, you know, the ones who were first called to the prophets and the kings, standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." In other words, I'm going to give you a day's work and a day's pay. So they went. And when he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." Are you in the vineyard of the Lord? Are you producing fruit? Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, you will produce much fruit, and your fruit will last." Are you in the vineyard of the Lord? Are you tending the vineyard of the Lord? Or are you tending an aquarium? Are you tending, watching the aquarium and how neat it is? What are you doing? You know, it's a hard work to go into the vineyard of the Lord and to tell people about Jesus. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last." So the last only worked an hour or two. "And then going to the first. And when those hired at 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage." Well, the one who is giving the money is generous. "Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more." Why? Because they worked more hours. "But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the heat of the day and the burden of the day. But he replied, he said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same that I give to the first. Am I allowed to do this, do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious? Are you jealous because I am generous?" I'm going to tell you, no one deserves heaven. No one deserves heaven. The word deserves got to be thrown out. It's the grace of God that keeps us. It's the grace of God that led us to the cross to be forgiven. It's the grace of God that causes us to repent. No one deserves heaven. No one deserves, even if you've been in the church for 70 years, laboring, preaching the gospel, no one deserves heaven. It is a gift given to us by Jesus Christ's blood, by the blood of Jesus. I'm generous. Are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first. The Jewish people will be, the last will be first, the Gentiles will be first, and the first will be last, the Jewish people. They were in the vineyard longer than anybody else. But we're getting what he will promise to give us. And what does he promise to give us? Oh, he promises to give us heaven. Those who believe in Jesus, those who have made him their Lord and their Savior, he promised to give us heaven. 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 And no one deserves heaven, no matter what we've done. It's not what we've done. It's by the grace of God. It is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man boast. While Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, the only way to get Jerusalem, you have to climb Mount Zion, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised." They still don't want to hear this. They still don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear this. This is something that they do not want to hear. But Jesus knows that the only way that sin is to be won over is by his blood, by his cross, by his death, by his burial, and by his resurrection. Listen to this one. "If you're not going to do the job yourself, let your mother do it. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' And she said to him, 'Declare that these two sons, John and James of mine, will sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" The cup of suffering, persecution. And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right and my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my heavenly Father." You hear that? You hear that? I just don't care where they put me, as long as I can see Jesus. I don't have to be at his right or his left. As long as I can see Jesus and see his beautiful face and watch his love being poured out upon the earth and upon heaven. When the 10 heard it, they were angry at the two brothers. Isn't that sad? Because they're just like the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. It must not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must also be your servant." Are you servant to people? Oh, I love to pour water in the name of Jesus to the disciples of Jesus. The reward will not be taken away. "Whoever wishes to be first among you must also be your slave." Jesus is first, and he became a slave, emptying himself, becoming a slave unto death, even death on a cross. "Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you know that he gave his life for you as a ransom? You're one of the people his blood was shed for as a ransom for many, not for all. And they were leaving Jericho. A large crowd followed him. Why are they following him? They want to be healed. They want to be touched. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Why are they shouting? Because they can't see where Jesus is. They want to be heard. The crowd sternly ordered them to shut up. But they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" I tell you today, Jesus looks into our eyes and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Like, that's a question. And you've got to answer it. I've got to answer it. And you know what I want? I want the peace and joy of God. I want the peace and joy of God. They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened," and moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Where are they following him? Up to Jerusalem. I think they were there when he was crucified. Chapter 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent to his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with the colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord has need of them." Do you know that the Lord has need of you? Do you know that today? That the Lord Jesus Christ has need of you? He doesn't need you per se, but he wants you and needs you because he chooses to need you. He needs you to go out into the vineyard and to proclaim the kingdom of God and to proclaim Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, so that the crowds that went ahead of him that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest heavens." Then when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And what happens next? This is what puts the nail on the coffin. Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and their seats and those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it into a den of thieves." The blind, the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus says to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. He left them and went out of the city to Bethany. Who's in Bethany now? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He went there to be with them. He spent the night there. In the morning, when he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the side of the road, he went in and found nothing but only leaves.
Did Jesus look at us at part of the vineyard and he finds only grape leaves? He's looking for fruit. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David.
Then he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they were amazed, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done.
What mountain is he talking about now? Mount Zion.
Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe you emptied yourself and took the form of a slave and died on a cross, was buried and rose from the third day, and forgives us who come to the cross with repentance.
When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, healing the sick and throwing over the things in the temple? And who gave you this authority? Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? Because John pointed to Jesus. But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for they regarded John as a prophet. So they answered, Jesus, we do not know. Oh, remember what Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. The rest comes from the devil. And he said to them, neither will I tell you what authority I am doing these things. Jesus said, what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go out and work in the vineyard. Are you working in the vineyard? And he answered, I will go, but he didn't go. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same, and he answered, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, the first. The first said that they would not go, but then they went. The second said they would go, but they didn't go. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. Even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. I tell you, you might be a prostitute. You might be a great sinner. The cross is for you. The cross of forgiveness. The cross that Jesus died on that cross for you to shed his blood so that his blood would cover your sins. You know, all sinners are the same, because we've broken the whole law. If you break one commandment, you break all the commandments. So God is saying to you, just give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Let him become your Lord. Give your life. How do I do that? I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I give you my whole life. Forgive my sins and be my Savior. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do need to hear from people. Go to inseason.net and please leave a gift on PayPal or Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I cannot do these broadcasts unless you help me. May God bless you today and fill you with his love and go into the vineyard. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.